I didn't know what I was asking. If you're real, then be real to me. I didn't know what I was saying. 'Cause I've settled for an imitation, a figment of my imagination. But I stood speechless when you finally showed up. I was excited and terrified. You were not tame, you were not tame. When you came closer, I came alive, I came alive. You were frightening and beautiful. You swallowed up my surroundings. You were meek and powerful. When you called me out of hiding, you gave me a new name. You crushed my enemy. Closer, I came alive, I came back to life. My heart was racing, my hands were shaking. You are not tame, you are not tame. My world was ending, a new beginning had
All right. How's it going? Jesus, we come today, we ask that you bless this time, Father. Jesus, we call on you because you change everything. Father, we pray that you would change us, that you would invade our space. God, you would call us out of our hiding places. God, that you would remind us that we are sons and we are daughters. God, that we have a place in your kingdom at your table. Jesus, would you make your presence known here today? God, we pray against the enemy. We bring the full cross, the full work of Christ against the enemy. Against fear, against rejection, against depression, against self-hatred. Jesus, we pray that you would chase those things out and replace them with your acceptance of us, your joy and your peace, your love, and your comfort. I went the way of wayward winds in a world of trouble and sin. I walked along a crooked mile behind a million rank and file. Forgot where I came from, somewhere back when I was young. I was a good man's child. 'Cause I lost some nameless things, my innocence flew away from me. She had to hide her face from my desires, to embrace forbidden fire. But at night I dream she's singing over me. Oh, my child, come on home. Home to me, and I will hold you in my arms and joyful be. There will always be a place for you at my table. Return to me. Wondering where I might begin. Upon the wind, she's singing faint but singing true. Son, there ain't nothing you can do. Listen close and follow me. I'll take you where you're meant to be. Oh, but don't lose faith. So I put my hand upon the plow, wipe the sweat from my brow, and plant the good seed along the way. As I look forward to the day when at last I see my father run to me, saying, oh, my child, come on home. Home to me, and I will hold you in my arms and joyfully there will. Return to me. There is a truth older than the ages. There is a promise of things yet to come. There is one born for our salvation. There is a light that overwhelms the darkness. There is a kingdom that forever reigns. There is freedom from the chains that bind us. Jesus, Jesus, who walks on the water, stands in the fire beside me. He roars like a lion, he bled as the lamb. He carries my healing in his hands. Jesus, there is a name I call in times of trouble. There is a song comforts in the night. There is a voice that calms the storms that rages. He is Jesus, Jesus.
turns. Who walks on the water? Who speaks to the sea? Who stands in the fire beside me? He roars like a lion. He bled as the lamb. He carries my healing in his hand. My Savior, there is power in your name. You're my rock and my Redeemer. There is power in your name, in your name. You walk on the water, you speak to the sea. Stand in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion. You bled as the lamb. You carry my healing in your hands. God, you walk on the water. You speak to the sea. You stand in the fire beside me. There is no one like you, Jesus.
I'm gonna do one more real quick before we move on here. One thing that I think I've been thinking about lately is since you and I talked about the Brennan Manning book, a guy named Brennan Manning, who I'm a big fan of, written several books and was a speaker. He passed away several years ago, but I love his talk that he gives. He really gave kind of the same talk over and over again, really. Just a beautiful story of the love of God and God pursuing the hearts of his people. But he says that you know, when you pass away and you go to heaven, he said, I believe that we stand before Jesus. And the question that Jesus asks is not, what did you do for me? Or, you know, what did you give up? Or what did you accomplish in my name? But the question that he asks is, Did you know that I loved you? Did you know that I loved you? That I love you? Did you know that? Did you live that way? And I just recently heard a guy say in a podcast, he said, you know, the fact that, you know, that in our society, we struggle with addictions and we struggle with all these things that creep into our lives and wreck us from the inside. It's not due to how bad we are. It's due to the fact that we just don't understand how deeply we are loved by Jesus. If we really believed, that we were loved by the Father, by the Creator of the universe, how would that transform our lives? How would that transform our hearts? To be able to stand in front of Jesus one day and hear those words, did you know? Did you know? how much I loved you. So we can rest in that today. And Jesus doesn't ask us to perform well. He doesn't ask us to accomplish a lot of things. He doesn't ask us to memorize the Bible or do all these things. I mean, yes, we need to know the Word and we need to read the Bible and we need to walk in the way of truth. But Jesus knows that His love for us and us understanding that and growing in it and standing in it is the bedrock of everything that the Christian life has to offer. That is what makes us courageous. That is what makes us share this thing that we have, the gospel, with the world around us. It comes from that. But we get so caught up in performance, you know, and we get overwhelmed by it. We think, man, I can never be good enough. I can never do enough. So we give up in a lot of ways. But Jesus is saying, do you know how much I love you? Do you know? And he calls us to stand in that, to stand in that tension, to let Him teach us, to let Him sow those seeds within our soul of His love.
Hear His heart overflow, melody of ageless love from the Creator to the created. Comes a song, a sweet lament. He quiets His children with love. He sings over them. Oh, He quiets His children with love. His delight is in find their hope, worthless find their worth in this song that echoes out children with love. He sings over them. Oh, He quiets His children with love. Delight, His delight is in them. His delight in it. Quiet my heart, still my restless soul, so that I may hear this glorious song. Quiet Your children with love. You sing over them. You quiet Your children with love.
All right. Anybody wants to gather around a little closer? You've been here the last couple of weeks. Not everybody at once, so please don't rush the area. I'm not going to call on you like I did my sister earlier to pray. But I do want this place to be open, that if God so leads, for you to interject and be a part of things this morning. And I'm just going to be pretty transparent guy this morning. I share with a couple of our dear brothers and sisters this morning that I honestly have no idea what I'm going to share today, and have just been trying to walk in the Spirit in this. And so I just want to start with a verse in Zephaniah. That's not where you thought I'd be going this morning, probably. But it was just so brilliantly sang over you this morning. That was a song that Jesse wrote, and it was based off of this verse. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. That Almighty God, the Creator that spoke you into existence, would sing over you. Isn't that a beautiful picture, right? Man, I just want to be kind of transparent this morning. I'm just going to be just completely real with you. I hope I'm always honest, but I'm just going to let you into the looking glass of the life of a pastor. Maybe not just like, you know, a pastor that wouldn't tell you as much as I'm going to lay out on the table, but at least the pastor that is here at this time. In an earthly sense, I just want to share with you a story that happened to me this week. I've had some really good parts of a week this week, but some not so good. And to be honest, I think a little bit this morning heading in, it is no coincidence that Psalm 40 is my favorite psalm. But to read the words off the page this morning are a little tough. Maybe you feel the same. Maybe there's times in your life that you can say amen when it sounds like God is singing over you and he loves you and he is there for you and you can feel it and everything feels right. Like it just feels good. But what about when it feels tough? What about when you want to think about praising God and all you want to do is shake your fist? See, this last week, y'all, many of you know my son Bradley, and Bradley's not here today. He's at home. Bradley's a basketball player. He loves basketball, man. He talks basketball. He watches basketball. When he plays a video game, it is basketball. He is living and breathing basketball. My favorite player in the world up to a few years ago was Michael Jordan. There is nothing better than watching number 23, the real 23, not LeBron James, but the real 23 dribble a basketball until I saw little number 10 dribbling a basketball. That is my favorite basketball player, as any good dad would say, right? Well, we were at his game the other night, and he's worked so hard. When he started playing basketball, he could barely dribble a basketball. And if you've ever seen him play, he's got good handles, man. He can dribble between his legs, behind his back, makes all these cool plays and all this stuff, and he's gotten so much better. Well, the other night we were watching his game, and he goes up to block a guy's shot, and he comes down. And I was watching, honestly impressed. I was like, man, he got pretty high up there on that block. And as he goes to do this block, I'm watching to see if there's contact, like if he's going to get called for a foul. And I hear my daughter say, oh, my God, he's broke his ankle. And when he landed, when Bradley came down and landed, it wasn't his ankle. That's what we thought at first. But when he landed, his leg went out. And so, as any good mom would want to do, Jamie wants to storm the court. And as any good dad would do, I held her back and said, no, you can't go right now. Just wait. Let them work. Just give them a second. Give them a second. She was like a bulldog ready to go. And as they were walking Bradley off the court, you can get the picture of Bradley with his arms around an athletic director and a trainer, knee, leg up, limping. Honestly, man, my heart sank. What is it? And I just thought, man, a bad sprained ankle or something like that. We go back to the training room, and they lay him on a table. Anybody ever seen the movie Karate Kid, the original? None of that Jaden Smith stuff, no offense, but like the real 1984 Karate Kid. There's a scene where Ralph Macchio Daniel is laying on the table, and he's given the news that he can't go back out. And you know the scene I'm talking about, right? He hits the table, and he says, damn it. He hits the table, and he's like, man, everything I've been working for is gone. I saw that played out the other night. I saw my son hit the table when they tell him your ACL is torn in your knee. Except there was no Mr. Miyagi to come in and work his magic. There were no words that I could muster up other than it's going to be okay. See, it wasn't about a knee at that point. It was about my son's heart. It was about the tears of anger and frustration. It was about the hurt of saying, I wish I could fix this, but I can't. There is no way I can rub my hands together and put it on your knee, fix it. If it could, I would. In fact, I even prayed the prayer, not him, let it be me. If there's something I can take, let it be me. And so honestly, man, I got people to pray immediately. I sent, hey, this is what they're thinking. We're going to the doctor, going to the orthopedic. Everything's going to be fine. In my mind, I honestly thought the report was going to come back. It's just strained. Everything is cool. Everything. Not only is it a torn ACL, it's a torn MCL. It's torn ligaments on the knee. He got his money's worth. He tore the whole knee up. Season's obviously over, and next year's a senior year, and you know, we hope to progress and be able to make that. And here's where I tell you, I'm going to be real with you this morning. I didn't know how much I would share of this, but I feel led to. So I'm just going to trust that there's someone in this crowd today that has had their moment and had their feel of everybody saying, I don't believe in a God that sings over me. In fact, I'm pissed off at God. I don't want no part of God. I'm mad, and I am not going down that road again. Somebody is here this morning that needs to hear this. When we get the words, I'm cool, man. I've been handling everything. Been telling my son all the right things. It's going to be okay. We're going to face this together. Everything in my mind, though, I knew the report was going to come back. I knew God was going to answer me the way I wanted him to answer me, that everything was going to be just fine. Well, it's not. And I'm pissed off about it. I'm still pissed off today. And the first words when Jamie gets off the phone and the doctor says, yes, it's going to need surgery, she tells me, my first words was, I am. Now, before I Jesus juke you, I don't want you to sit there and think that your pastor said, hold the great I am. You'll take care of everything. You're so good. You've rained down manna from heaven. You are going to fix this. I am. You're everything I need, God. I worship you in this moment. You are. Yes, you are. The rest of the sentence went like this. I am so effing mad. I'll spare you the word, but it's the F dash 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 word. The mother of all words, right? If you know Ralphie. And I hit the kitchen table with my hand. I said, I'm so effing mad right now. And I began to just cry profusely, like an angry cry, right? By the way, you don't find those words in here. That probably wasn't the response I was supposed to have, but I'm just telling you the honest truth. The very first words wasn't, oh, dear God, thank you for this news. We're going to be so much better for this. I am so effing mad as I began to cry. Anybody want to be honest with me? You ever been there? Ever been there with God? Ever been there with church? Ever been there with this whole life of just, I'm so effing mad. I'm so sick of it, man. I'm just tired. I'm just hurting. I just want this to stop. Jamie, being a good wife, she says, it's going to be okay, Keith. It's going to be. And then the words came out of a wellspring of my heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And I said, I don't ask for much. You see, somewhere inside, I love to say, and I believe it, I love to say that it doesn't matter all the bad that we've done or doing or will do, that God loves us in spite of that, and there is nothing that can change that. But somehow in my mind, I have it twisted that if I do enough good, that you owe me. You owe me something. I don't ask for much. Come through. Come through the way I want you to. Don't you quit on me. Don't show me you're real. I'm so effing mad. I hit the table. I'm honest. That was on Tuesday. My hand still hurts from hitting the table. I hit it hard. I'm so effing mad. I would love to stand here and tell you that I've had that moment of just like, it's going to be okay. It's all right. I don't know that I'm there yet. I don't know that I've had that moment. I don't ask for much. And so maybe this morning, God leads me to a place of honesty to tell you this and to shepherd in this way. Maybe you're there too. Like maybe this morning, I don't know, maybe something even more traumatic than a torn knee. Maybe it's burned relationships. Maybe it's an addiction that you can't shake. Maybe it's that prostitution you feel is your only way out in one form or another, prostituting yourself to some way or some other person. Maybe it's that you'll do anything just for that next fix. Maybe it's if everything would just work out, I would believe in this God. Can I tell you that I believe that day, that morning on my kitchen table, when I hit the table and I said to God, you may think I'm crazy, but when I said this to God that I'm so effing mad, I felt the Father say, good, let it out. Be honest. Be honest with me. Because here's the deal. We know that He knows already, right? We can try to pretend. We can try to BS. We can try to hide all we want to. But if we are just honest with ourselves, we know He knows our heart. He knows our feelings. He knows exactly what you're feeling right now. And so I'm just going to go on and tell you some advice that you've never heard probably at a church gathering before. If you're effing mad at God this morning, tell Him. Just tell Him right now. It's okay. Let it out. If you need to scream it, brother, sister, I'll get over here and scream it to the mountaintops with you because I'm still a little mad. I'm still hurt. I'm still mad that things didn't work out just like I wanted it to. But I do stand before you this morning and tell you that I'm trusting a little bit more than I was that morning. So a gracious God takes me and where we were supposed to be today to my favorite psalm. I don't believe in coincidence. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. I'm going to add something here. I didn't know I was going to do this, but I know it's dangerous to add to God's word, but I just want you to know, instead of a song that says, I'm so effing mad, He put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise to our God. And I'm going to just trust this morning . And if my son was here, I think he would say it too. That if my son's knee and some little story that God's speaking to your heart puts a new song in somebody's mouth today, I'm a little better with it. I'm not okay with it, but I'm a little better. Because when that new song comes and somebody is able to instead take that song of I'm so effing mad, I'm so just fed up, I'm quitting, I'm done, many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So just for a few minutes, I'm going to ask everybody to keep on task here of what the Holy Spirit's speaking and not, this isn't for anybody to trumpet or share anything about us. This is about God and things that would bring us to a place like this. If anybody is fed up, if anybody has anything they need to get off their chest and say something like I have this morning and been led to by the Spirit of God, I'm going to just pray and leave this mic here. Leave the word open to where we're at. If you feel led to share something about that, you do it. And we'll trust and see where God leads us this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you that even when we don't feel good about things, even when it doesn't feel like praising you, that we know you are good. Even when we can't see it, even when we have those pity party moments where we say, I don't ask for much. Now, there's some here this morning who have much more to bring to this story of, I am so mad. I'm fed up. I've quit. I'm done. And so, Holy Spirit, we trust in your leadership to lead our church, to lead this body. Jesus, you are the head of this church, and we follow you as your members. And just say, if you have something else to say, you say it. Through any means necessary, you say it out here. Speak to hearts, especially to my brothers and sisters or those that have yet to meet you that would say this morning, I'm still so effing mad. Would you break hearts today? Would you put a new song in our mouth? Would you speak just over the next few moments, God, through your word, through your Holy Spirit? We just give this to you and say, this is your time and your space to operate, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to leave this up here for a few. If anybody wants to share anything, you are welcome to in this place.
How y'all doing? You know, hearing Keith talk, I'm reminded that we all experience tragedy in some way in our life. So I know, and that looks different for everybody. And a lot of the times, like for me hearing this, one of the biggest disappointments in my life is my daughter. She's not here, Ella. She has the flu right now. That's not the biggest disappointment. The disappointment is that she can't hear out of her left ear. She went in for a routine, you know, get the tubes taken out of her ear, and the thing never healed. We prayed. At one point, it looked like it was a miraculous thing, and she could hear again, and she couldn't. She can't. No matter what you do, no matter what hearing aid you put on there or whatever, she can't hear. And that just sucks. I wince. I mean, it's one of those things, I wince every time. She's like, what? I mean, it's right there. And I'm like, God, why could you not just take that away? I mean, why does she have to experience that? You know, why do we have to experience those things? And damn it, I do not know. Because it seems like to me, I follow the rules best I can. Not perfect, but I mean, I committed my life to Jesus. I did that. You said you'd come through, and you haven't. And I've come to a point now where I'm starting to realize and hearing this that new song is, hey, sharing it, walking through people with it, that's actually a bigger and better thing and more beautiful thing, because you begin to understand that when you share things like when Keith shares and anybody up here does that, it's not like I look at them any different. I love that person even more because I'm able to see that they're being vulnerable. They're sharing what's going on in their life because life is not easy, you know. And I expect, you know, when I became a Christian that it was going to be, and it's not, you know. But, oh my gosh, I'm getting to understand even more. It's about walking through it with other people and showing kindness towards people that they're missing something too, because we're all missing something. Nothing's playing out perfectly the way we thought it would. But yeah, I just wanted to share that. That there's things that come up that you may think that you try to minimize, because I can remember hearing the enemy say, at least she doesn't, you know, at least she can function, you know, like she can do this, do that. I say that because a lot of times the enemy tries to come in there and minimize what your issue is or what you've been going through and say, it's not that big a deal. Keep it quiet. Don't talk. Nobody cares about that. Well, that's a lie. So, anyway, I'm in with that.
So Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and he fought a great many battles. I mean, he basically was tasked with overcoming the world at the time. They crossed the Jordan and they went into the Promised Land. And lo and behold, it wasn't an easy path. And so they come against the enemy in a great many ways. And at the end of his life, at the end of it all, he finds himself in the position of explaining to a lot of people that it's not over. He explains to them that he gives them the pep talk that God has to give Job, that God laid the foundations of the earth, that God walked them out of Egypt, that God promised them a promised land, and that this was how it was going to be delivered. And at the end of all that, under that constraint, he says, "Now choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and mine, I will choose the Lord." I promise you, there's not one single person here today who is here because in spite of the fact that they do not want to be here. You chose to be here. Now, you may have chosen because you didn't want your wife to be mad at you. You may have chosen because you just wanted to be here and glorify the grace that God has so gloriously given us. But you chose to be here. You can choose righteously or you can choose unrighteously. And in that constraint, we all live. And then we'll put that up against God and promise and argue and struggle and debate. There is no debate for us. We're saints because we keep the faith. We are true because God is true. Because we have no other option. And God, through all of that, still laid the foundations of the earth. He still walked those men out of Egypt. He still saved them and He still gave them everything that they could possibly want because He can make it all come undone at a moment's notice. Any moment. We could all have our need of our soul and then find ourselves wanting. And I promise you all that He will be there for you. There's no one doing that. It's a truth in the beginning, it's a truth at the end, and that promise was there before we were. That's all I have to say on that.
Bless you. This really touched my heart today. This pastor is a blessing to me because he talks from the heart about the things that goes on in his personal life. And I go home and I think about the transparency. And that's what we have to have in the body of Christ, because we're all members. We function differently, but our heart is still the same. We get hurt. And the suffering that I've gone through, this is how we comfort one another, is in our sufferings. You know, Jesus, when He died on the cross and the things that He went through, He was yet our brother because He suffered. And He knows how to comfort us because He has suffered. Suffering has its purpose. It has its benefits. But it feels so alone when we're going through the suffering. We almost feel like there's no one else that can feel the depth of our suffering, the discouragement that comes about. Where is God in all of this? The good God. I'm suffering. I'm hurting. But within all of that, He's bringing spiritual maturity all along the way. I know in 2018, I was like, where's God? And I felt discouraged. I believe that God uses everything in our lives to show Himself greater than what we are, even in our circumstance. I had a group of people who didn't even know me that began to minister to me in such ways that it turned my life around. I thought I was completely destroyed because of what I was going through. I felt like I had lost my faith in God. To go so long in life with your relationship with God and then hit an impasse where you don't think that you'll ever make it on the other side. And then God sends the messengers, the angels, to you in such different ways. And it gave me hope again to live and not die and to declare the works of the Lord. So today I just want to encourage you to keep on going, because I thought I was destroyed, but I wasn't, because God had the members in the body of Christ that had the compassion to reach out and say a word in due season that kept me lifted up to where I didn't fall completely in despair. So when we go through these things, whatever the tragedy may be, I know that God will bring us through to the other side. He always has, and He always will. And we will continue to be stronger than we were previously before the fall. That pain and suffering would turn to strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
This will take about a second, but God's told me to say this, and I'll read out of my iPhone. 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternity, life, whereupon thou art also called, and hast profession, a good profession before many witnesses. So, I think to me it's all about faith, trusting the Lord, everything we do. But we got to keep fighting, because He's our only choice. I mean, He takes care of us, even though we don't realize it sometimes. But He takes care of everything we do. So keep the good faith.
All right, you guys pray with me. Father, I have, you know the prayers I've prayed this week. You know the heart behind them, and so I just trust that you love me. In spite of some of the things that I've said, I'm grateful for that. And so I just want to close in prayer just with what we've read today as a prayer to you, Father. I don't normally do this. I pray what's on my heart, and this is what's on my heart this morning. We wait patiently on you, and we trust that you will incline your ears to us and hear our cry, that you will draw us up out of a pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set our feet upon the rock that is Jesus, making our steps secure. If you haven't Father, we trust that you will put a new song in our mouth, a song of praise to you. And we trust that many will see and fear and put their trust in you because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much. We're